big when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Enjoy our next guest. His name is Congressman Bill Huizenga from Michigan, a Republican from Michigan, and we have a lot to talk about with the congressman. We spared no expense. We made sure that he would be comfortable in our virtual green room. I think our staff, you know, we have this giant staff, namely Matt Johnson, ran out and got him a Red Bull or a latte or something to make him comfortable. But we are pleased as punch, to use an old expression, that he found some time to come on the show with us. Congressman, thanks for coming on.
Hey, my pleasure. And you guys need new carpet in the virtual green room. That's all I'm going to say.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Before we dive into the good stuff, did you watch that Super Bowl yesterday? What did you think?
I did. Very proud that there was a couple of high-profile Michigan people, obviously Tom Brady, but Mario Manningham, who made that spectacular catch along the sidelines to help win it for the Giants. So it was actually a good game. You know, and oftentimes you don't see that in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Manningham was that 38-yard sideline catch. Are you kidding me? I think every Patriot fan, they were choking on pretzels at that moment when they saw that.
They absolutely were. But that's classic Tom Brady as well to take that ball down the field and have a shot at winning it. And it was a good game. Frankly, I think the game was better than the commercials. And you can't always say that every year either.
Yeah, boy, that's true. Absolutely. I started off the show and I was saying how, Congressman, that sports is so much like politics now more than ever. And I threw this out to the masses saying, you know, who really needs a Hail Mary pass? You know, who needs something big to happen to shake things up in this race for president as we march through these caucuses? A big day, of course, in the heartland and Minnesota, huge in Minnesota. It looks like Rick Santorum may be bouncing back in this one. Do you think it makes it interesting when you have still in this, you know, early going, more players involved in trying to win the ticket ultimately?
Yeah, you know, I am very much of the thought, though, that at some point there's the law of diminishing returns kicks in, and I think we may have hit that as far as the Republican side goes. We're starting to just engage in fraternizing each other. I am just in taking shots at each other in a circular firing squad here, and at some point or another, we've got to have this determined. And not that you're not seeing character coming out and you're not seeing, how people react under pressure and under fire and that kind of thing. But, on the Republican side, at some point here, we gotta focus our sights on a different opponent as opposed to just each other.
Yeah. Who are you backing in this?
Actually, just recently I came on board with Romney. His father had been governor in Michigan back in the 60s and is still very, very popular. His brother is very engaged in Michigan politics, Scott Romney back there. And so he did well, especially in southeast Michigan, did well 4 years ago in is currently the second congressional district. And I think there's a lot of confidence in it for him.
Yeah. The one of the big things, obviously, this, I think you and I even talked about this when we met in New Hampshire, that really I cannot stand about Washington is all these Band-Aids. And now the biggest Band-Aid of all, extending the payroll tax cut, is this going to be a year-long thing, or are we going to just have to keep seeing that the battle goes back and forth a couple of months here, a couple of months there? I mean, don't you think that just distracts everybody and just gets to the point of where it's ridiculous, Congressman?
Yeah, terribly. I mean, it is distracting. And at some point or another, what business need business and individuals, people need is predictability and certainty in their lives. You know, you can't have people guessing what their take home pay is going to be. You can't have companies guessing as to what the tax policy is going to look like next quarter And of course, the brilliance of the Senate was to say, well, it's too hard to figure it out for a year, so we're going to do it for 2 months. You know, my own CPA, I run a small family business, and my own CPA said, you know, didn't you guys at least have the decency to do a full quarter? And we couldn't get that done.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Craziness. Something else that's crazy that I think we also spoke about is what's going on with energy in this country and the tug of war over that and the Keystone pipeline. Where do you stand on the pipeline?
I am very supportive of it. And so many people have forgotten that this administration actually approved a large Canadian pipeline already. It's called the Alberta Clipper. That takes oil into Minnesota. And there is, I was in the state house on energy and technology back in Michigan. And we had some conversations with TransCanada at the time about seeing if some of that oil could come to Michigan. And, there are benefits far beyond just this stuff going down to the Gulf. There's a lot of other states, including Michigan this time around, that could benefit from that oil coming down, and it just seems hypocritical to me for the president to be there at the State of the Union talking about how we need to have energy security, we need to have energy coming from our friends as opposed to our enemies, and there's no bigger friend to the United States than Canada, and there's no more secure route than going through Canada and through our own country, and this to me just seems like an absolute no-brainer from the energy side. From the jobs, immediate jobs that it'll create on the construction, as well as the spinoff jobs, and to stand up there and really talk out of both sides of his mouth, I thought it was just very frustrating, disappointing.
Yeah, not to mention that we'd be punting to China once again. Our loss would be China's gain because they would swoop in here. You and I know that.
That's exactly right. I mean, because the Canadians aren't going to go, oh, well, darn it, I guess you guys don't want it, so we're going to leave it in the ground. They're pulling this oil out of the ground one way, shape, or form, and it's going to go somewhere, and it's either going south to help refuel and regenerate our economic recovery, or it's going to get shipped to Vancouver and put on a boat and shipped over to Asia. It's predominantly China, and it's going to help fuel their economy. I want it fueling our recovery, not theirs.
Yeah. I know you have to get back to business, but one last one, I would be remiss not to ask you this. How are things going overall in Michigan? You know, you look at the unemployment numbers and jobs killing so many neighborhoods still. What's happening in your state?
Yeah, and actually that Clint Eastwood ad really did say a lot about Michigan. You know, we've got a new governor, Rick Snyder, who has gone in, made some very difficult choices, as has the House and the Senate. We are seeing the signs of a recovery. Now, when I talk to some of my friends from around the country, they're like, man, this has been a tough 2 years. It's like 2 years is nothing. Try a decade. Michigan had went through a very tough decade. My family's involved in construction there. I know firsthand what it feels like. But we've got a real spirit of recovery and we can make it. I just want to make sure government isn't getting in the way of that. And unfortunately, I think that's too often the policies, whether it's tax or regulatory policy, is really hampering our recovery. So slightly optimistic, but man, we got to keep our foot on the gas here and make sure that we're not doing things that are going to harm them.
Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power, a gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Thanks for joining us on America Tonight. Wide Open Highway, if you want to throw in your 2 cents. Coming up in the political process, who is the 800-pound gorilla that Obama has to watch out for in the Republican side? Suddenly I hear silence. There is no 800-pound gorilla. That's the answer. You're down to 4. We know the 4, the usual suspects. Mitt Romney, the establishment guy. Newt Gingrich, the Tea Party guy. Ron Paul, an army of loyal followers, who don't have any clout. And then there's Rick Santorum, the darling of the true conservatives. Who do you like? Spin the wheel of, I hope we can mount some kind of a war against the guy at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I mean, seriously, folks, that's what it's down to. I've talked to plenty of strategists in D.C. and outside of D.C. I mean, it should be up to we the people, but you know what? Really, it's not up to we the people. This is the problem I have with the Electoral College and the way the system goes down. I think it should be the popular vote, period. But some would argue, well, then what about smaller states? How much sway? This is why the system was installed, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. We'll be talking more about that along the way. We'll be talking with a lot of people about elections and the problems with our election process and the lack of uniformity. Maybe that nips us as well, then the fraud that we often turn over and the ability not to seem to get sometimes these results right, whether it's in primaries, caucuses, or in the big boys, the general elections. We've been through and down this road many, many, many times. And I do say to myself sometimes, why is it like we live in a third world country in the voting process? Can't we have some sort of uniformity? Now, where I go and vote, I feel like they're pretty organized. We haven't had any problems yet that I know of. But, and we're doing the touch screen thing. There's people who have had problems when they've been in the polling place, but then somebody instructs them, shows them what they're not understanding, and it's all good. As far as I know, there haven't been lost results. So next time we meet on the airwaves, we'll have some more caucus results anyway. Some big delegates at stake in Minnesota, Colorado, and in Missouri. I mean, the big one, Minnesota. And for Minnesota, you know, you're talking about a handful. You're talking about when you add up the numbers. I mean, that's what it is. It's like they're going along getting chits in the game. How many do I get at this stop? How many do I get at, you know, that's the process. That's how a primary, that's how a caucus works. And so in Minnesota, I believe we're talking about 40 delegates that would be counted there. And the odds-on favorite right now is not necessarily Mitt Romney. In the polls, who's coming up is Rick Santorum, just by a little bit in some of the polls, a little bit more than Mitt Romney. But, you know, ultimately it's just a decision of the people of Minnesota when they caucus. So maybe it is going to be Rick Santorum. Maybe it is going to be too close to call. The Super Bowl seemed like it was too close to call. Didn't you just know? I mean, seriously, didn't you know at the end that the Giants were going to come through and beat the Patriots? I guess Gisele Brady didn't get the message because she, after the Super Bowl, ripped into the wide receivers of the Patriot Corps for not catching some key balls. But the ones who did catch them on the other side of the field for the Giants, boy, they were stellar, like Mario Brothers. He was amazing what he was able to do with a 38-yard catch, keeping himself in bounds. He was money all the way. Fans appreciated it, as did Eli Manning. Take a listen to some Patriot fans down in the dumps and some Giant fans who couldn't be happier.
It's devastating, absolutely devastating.
People crying, people cheering. I think the pressure got to them. It was the last play of the game.
It was an amazing game. Good friends, good food, and some good football.
We took it, we did what we had to do, and then we did it, baby!
Yep, they did it big time. 21-17. Here's the thing. Nobody nailed the score. A lot of you have sent me emails and called in. No, nobody nailed the score. Nobody came even close. A bunch of people picked New York, but the guesses were way out of bounds. And it's kind of surprising. I thought initially, wow, I couldn't remember the scores off the top of my head. And I thought, you know what? I bet somebody's had to have nailed this. Like Jay in Kentucky said 37-34 Giants. Rick in Illinois said 31-24. I said 27-24. Yeah, nobody came close. So Manning led 6 comeback victories during the season. He set an NFL record with 15 fourth quarter touchdown passes. He showed just how clutch he can be, completing 5 passes. And then the 38-yard sideline catch by Mario Manningham, as I mentioned. And at the end of that, on the second down at the Patriots' 6-yard line, with only one timeout, they had to stand him up. The Pats did. They didn't do it. So Ahmad Bradshaw took the handoff. He actually thought about stopping short of the end zone. It was very strange. It was almost like it was in slow motion. And then he fell over, tumbled in, untouched. And that was by design, certainly, because it was a Hail Mary, really, that was left for New England, and Tom Brady couldn't do it in 57 seconds. He did heave one into the end zone on the final play, but it fell beyond the grasp of the lunging all-pro tight end who made a huge difference for New England, Rob Gronkowski. He was amazing all year long. People who were fantasy football players that had him were beaming ear to ear by the way he played. But England, New England lost again. So here we go. New England, 15-4, and the winner of 10 straight, and you're looking at the Giants, they just couldn't do it. They won 10 straight since the loss to the Giants in November, and all that doesn't matter. You can throw all that out because you don't win the Lombardi Trophy. You don't get to be the world champion. And again, you go down in the books as we lost to them in 2008, and now we lost to them again in 2012. So, Patriot fans really calling in sick, feeling utterly depressed and demoralized by what happened. And as I mentioned, it's very sad that we didn't have a nail the score winner for our football season. So close, so many times. We will resuscitate nail the score for the big dance, the 64, and, you know, whittling that all down. We'll have that for a couple of weeks. Maybe we'll get a winner there. That's happened in the past. That would be terrific because we'll certainly save everything. But I have to say I'm disappointed. I thought somebody would have gotten it, and I really, really thought that we were going to get somebody a winner from the Super Bowl, because with one team and the guesses, I figured somebody's going to trip this up. And, you know, who thinks 21-17? All of us were saying much higher scores, assuming that, you know, with the four quarters that we would see that we would see, even with a stronger defenses, we would see more points, but it was hardly the point. There wasn't very much put on the board until really the second half of the game, too. Oh, my. Hey, coming up on the flip side, it's about the numbers. One of my favorite segments we do here in America Tonight is about numbers, called We Can Count. And we have lots of things to count, including the fact that 33 members of Congress have pushed how much in earmarks and other provisions to dozens of public projects that are next or near to their own property. Oh, boy. There's ways to look this stuff up. Don't they realize that? How much do you think that number is? How much in earmarks could that possibly be? I'm going to give you a hint. If you were thinking less than $100 million, you're wrong. That's just a hint. I'm going to give you the full-fledged number coming back as part of We Can Count on the flip side.
Powerful forces are trying to destroy your health. It's a fact that we're surrounded by a sea of environmental toxins, from mercury in vaccines and dental fillings, to aluminum in chemtrails, to pesticides and toxic chemicals sprayed all over our food. Even nuclear radiation, which is still spewing out of Fukushima, has contaminated the water and food supply in the U.S. But there is a solution. Liquid Zeolite is an extraordinary natural formula which safely and effectively removes all kinds of toxins from the body, including capturing heavy metals, pesticides, viruses, and radioactive particles. Use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com for fatigue, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, and joint pain. Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee and is available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. 100% safe. 100% amazing. Try Liquid Zeolite today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you're having any problems with the IRS or a local revenue agency, I understand and I can help. I'm tax attorney Tony Dennison. When I was a kid, the IRS came after my mother's house because of mistaken information. Ever since then, I've dedicated my life to defending people in trouble with the IRS. I'm a real tax attorney, which means I have two law degrees, a standard law degree known as a JD, and a tax law degree known as a Master's of the Laws in Taxation. I've been practicing for 10 years, and I've helped many of your fellow citizens in tax trouble. If you're in tax trouble, you don't need to be alone, and you don't need to call one of those fake lawyer clearinghouses. Call me, Tony Dennison, at Dennison Tax Law, 952-886-7141, or on the web at DennisonTaxLaw.com. It may be the best call you make all year. Dennison Tax Law, 952-886-7141. And again, on the web at DennisonTaxLaw.com.
Warning. The unprepared may not survive the next natural disaster, terrorist attack, or economic collapse. In light of recent global unrest and natural disasters, we bring you this urgent message from David Morris, author of the acclaimed Urban Survival Course. Because this message is urgent, we won't waste time on the why you should act now. You already know why. It's the very real and growing dangers reported in the media every day. Now it's the what you must do. Go to freesurvivalminicourse.com and claim your free Urban Survival Mini Course that will prepare you for breakdowns in civil order. Today, David Morris is offering you instant access to his 7-part Urban Survival Mini Course at freesurvivalminicourse.com. You should already be at your keyboard. Enough talk. Act now, while you still have time and while it's still free. freesurvivalminicourse.com. freesurvivalminicourse.com. Or call 877-403-7076. 877-403-7076. You'll be glad you did.
Extend your life with
Extendivite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our leap year sale with prices from 5 years ago. From February 1st to February 29th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling, to help you help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your
life with Extendivite. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
You wait for this number at the top of We Can Count. 33 members of Congress have directed more than, ready for this, $300 million in earmarks and other spending provisions to dozens of public projects that are near 2 miles or so within the lawmaker's own property. Under the ethics rules Congress has written for itself, this is both legal and undisclosed. So it's there for the public to look at. The problem is who really goes and digs around and finds this. So thankfully, somebody from the Washington Post actually got paid to do it, and they found out, they analyzed public records on all the holdings of 535 members and compared them with earmarks that they were looking for pet projects, most of them since 2008. So that's where they uncovered all of the real estate. They found 16 who sent tax dollars to companies, colleges, or community programs where their spouses, children, or parents worked as salaried employees or served on boards. I don't know. Here's what's interesting. You know, you look at those numbers, and as I go down, and I was looking at a whole list of these today, it's like you go down and you look at it a little bit further, and you see that, you know, now you have this, the bill, the Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge, or STOCK Act, and that would require anybody, any lawmaker and executive branch, by the way, to disclose security trades of more than $1,000 every 30 days. So, you know, the Senate defeated an amendment, 59-40, that would have permanently outlawed earmarks. The House, looking at all of that, I just, you know, earmarks are controversial because with this focus on spending and with what's happening with all of us, the constituents, and we see that, and you gasp when you hear about the earmarks. But earmarks, and this is true, because I'm not defending him because I'm just like you. I see the number 300 million, and I say, you got to be kidding me. But strangely enough, when you think of the budget, earmarks are just a tiny fraction of the federal budget. And the numbers are really relatively small overall when you look at Congress. But just in looking at the people who we elect, the lawmakers, who argue and point at each other when they're doing these other things that are benefiting them and their family, I'm sorry, give me a break. You know, it's like Obama. You watch the President of the United States just rail on the Republicans about not being all about big money and we need to tax the rich and all that other sort of stuff. And then how big money funding campaigns, but boy, he doesn't want to go there because that's exactly what the Democrats are doing. They're taking big checks from big people. Remember the Supreme Court ruling. So it doesn't have to be uncovered when it comes to corporations and what they're donating. And that's what's being encouraged for the Democratic side as well. Plus, we certainly know with the big plate affairs that Goldman Sachs has thrown for the president, it's just so odd. You know, you look at the State of the Union address and the Warren Buffett rule and all this other stuff, but then you find out that, well, wait a second, where's the money coming from for this billion-dollar war chest? Oh, all kinds of people, including tracing money back to a fugitive in Mexico who has ties to a casino family where there is violence in Mexico, and there's just flat out no way you can't believe that this guy is tied to it. The answer is he is tied to it, and the campaign was made aware of it because of the fact that you had the reporter calling up from the New York Times to say, listen, what do you want to say about this family, where you have these two casino magnates, brothers, who have yet another family member that they're trying to get pardoned so he can come back to the United States, and he's been instrumental in being involved with a lot of violence in Mexico and, let's say, calling a lot of shots. So the $200,000 was promptly given back. The Obama people, when that story broke and they were going to comment on it, found out about the ties and said, oh, never mind, on second thought, you can have the money back. That's not the case with the Romney sons. He's got five of them, and they've got a trust fund, it was revealed, worth $100 million. But here's the thing. If you look at the money and how they got there, and they gladly released this to people, they started in the mid-90s, and they put in money for every single one of the boys every single year. So that added up by the time now we've gotten to this point. The trust fund has grown to $100 million. The limit for a couple in 95 was $20,000. It's grown to $26,000. You have the lifetime gift tax exclusion for all of them. So that totals $1.2 million back in 95. That's how you get that $10 million figure. Simple economics, boy. And it certainly worked out for them, I would say. But they were smart to get ahead of this and to reveal that so that they don't have a blowback with Romney on that deal. Speaking of deals, foreclosure deals are in place in 40 states, but there are some others that are saying no, thank you. California, New York, Nevada, Florida, and Delaware are undecided. There are 40 states that signed on to a draft deal that would settle claims of improper mortgage servicing that's supposed to relieve homeowners who are struggling with loans bigger than their home's value. To you and me, that means underwater. So the sign-on deadline for joining the state federal mortgage service in settlement passed Monday with those 40 states. And the negotiations have been interesting. They've been able to move forward on what they're doing, but the attorney generals from the states I mentioned all have been not quick to jump on the deal in the past weeks, and they're talking with the negotiators. They might still participate, but they have not yet. And in Florida and Nevada, they say they have issues. They're at the negotiating table, but they haven't done it at this point. Remember, federal and state attorney generals could announce maybe sometime later this week the deal, that they have a deal with some of the nation's biggest banks that could end up being worth $25 billion for qualified homeowners altogether. And that would be more than any housing relief program has produced since the financial crisis started back in 2008. What a fiasco that has become. I mean, look, the mortgage people cut corners. They had robo-signers. They improperly foreclosed on some people. I mean, so under this current deal, people wouldn't even be able to return to houses who have already been foreclosed on. I mean, give me a break. The whole thing is a mess. With this draft, about a million people who are homeowners and are underwater on their mortgages with the principal exceeding the value could maybe be eligible for $20,000 in relief and principal owed. And then you think of what a fiasco this has been and other people being penalized because they paid and they didn't find themselves in a $450,000 house that they couldn't afford. You know, that's the part that, I'm sorry, that's the part that always gets me. You can't tell me that people don't realize they can't afford that. I mean, you know what? It's a very simple mathematics. What comes in, what goes out. How much of a house can you afford? All of us have been there and looked at houses. You know what you can afford and what you certainly can't. And we're not talking about a little bit of a push. We're talking about a big, big leap. A big leap. All right, this was no leap. I think all of us knew that the Super Bowl was going to be highly rated, especially if it ended up being close. So in the final Nielsen ratings, NBC Super Bowl broke records. Would you be surprised to know it became the most watched TV telecast of all time? Yes, it's true. The numbers are kind of interesting. They, last night's game officially, because now it goes up in spikes in certain areas, but the official overall number, 111.3 million. So it's up. And boy, you think of the shows that are launched behind that, they have to be jumping for joy. People are, stuffed. Some of them have taken off and they're just laying there watching with mindless television, what's ever on. So they have a thing called The Voice and something called Smash. And they had big ratings. I bet shows at the networks that are premiering say, please, please, jump up hysterically. Pick me, please. And when Madonna was on, she was the halftime act. And she's iconic, whether you like her or not. She certainly drew in the fans because the number spiked well beyond 111.3 million. How about that? The Voice, as I said, which was afterwards, 36.7 million. 36.7 million. Ooh. So, who was the big winner? I would say NBC. You had MIA's flipping the bird during the halftime show, but that would be the only low note for the network in a close game. 21-17, as we've said, the Giants beating New England. So it doesn't get much better than that for any network that is televising a football game. Because for goodness sake, you were on the edge of your seat. The Giants could have lost, but they didn't in the end. They pulled it out. And Brady with the Hail Mary, it didn't happen for him. Can you imagine if the Hail Mary hit its target? Ooh, that would have been a wild, wild finish.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Allie C? We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. And the answer is, Allie C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Allie C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boosts resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Allie C.
When's the last time you had a chance to buy a ticket to paradise? Listen up for a truly once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Imagine the ultimate bug-out safe home, surrounded by incredible lush, fertile land, filled with fruit trees, coffee farm, fresh air, wildlife, and gorgeous views of the Pacific Coast. And you could win it for only $200. Yes, a Costa Rican family of four is raffling off their $400,000 home for only $200 per ticket. The winner scores a 2,000-square-foot, three-bedroom, two-bath house, two-car garage with bodega, guest house, nearly 3 acres of fertile coffee farmland, and a 1978 diesel Toyota Land Cruiser. All for only $200 per raffle ticket. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Hurry, raffle ends April 30th, 2012. For complete details, visit CostaRicaRaffle.com. That's CostaRicaRaffle.com. Get your ticket to paradise today at CostaRicaRaffle.com.
Folks, have you lost your power and wanted to simply flip a switch to get the lights back on? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear, because there's never been a better time to get ready for the winter power outages ahead. Here's why. Solar power generators are now available from our friends at Solutions from Science, one of our oldest sponsors. Their emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running quietly in your own home. Whether it's ice storms, brownouts, or blackouts, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. When the power goes out this winter, you'll be ready with a solar power generator from Solutions from Science. Go to MySolarBackup.com for more information. That's MySolarBackup.com or call 877-327-0365.
Tonight, howdy everybody, Kate Delaney, hoping you're having a great start to your week. Are you still bleary-eyed from watching that Super Bowl and trying to work, and finally you just crashed, you had enough? Well, if you are awake, one eye open, both eyes open, cruising down the highway, whatever, check out these numbers. They must think we are idiots. Last week, the White House claimed that unemployment dropped for the fifth consecutive month to 8.3%. So you say 8.3%, let me do the math. Well, that's the lowest in nearly 3 years after plopping on 243,000 jobs. Now, all these numbers don't come from the White House, but the Bureau of Labor Statistics. But the figures have been massaged, manipulated, if you will, because with the significant drop in employment was due to the fact that the agency that computes all of this information decreased the number of Americans in the workforce. So if you had the same workforce over the past year, it would make a difference. Unemployment would be about 8.9% instead of 8.3%. So the number is really not, it's not correct. It's not really. It is not correct. The Bureau of Labor Statistics showed that unemployment dropped to the original number, 8.3, as I said, but it's the total workforce, the number of people either working or looking for work, declining 1.2 million in 1 month. So you take the number, the unemployment rate is determined by dividing the number of unemployed job seekers by the total labor force. You reduce the number of workers in the overall workforce, then they show unemployment dropping, but really it hasn't. It's been marginal, if you wanted to even call it that. So we underestimate how bad the unemployment situation really is. I mean, look, there's people that want to have a job, but they can't find one. No joke. I mean, they're not sitting around. They're not playing tiddlywinks and cards and having a great time on your dime. They're not. They can't find a job. And then you've got people retiring because of the aging of our population, and they give up looking, other people give up looking for work because of constant prolonged unemployment. There should be a statistic for the discouraged worker. What would that number be? What would the number of discouraged workers be in the United States? There's a great question, because there's people that are desperately stringing a couple jobs together, so they're running from point A to point B to point C just to really make ends meet, and they have to have a job on the weekends or nights or whatever it is. Can they really be happy doing that for long periods of time? And the answer is no. Even if they're productive, even if they need that, even if they desperately just want to be able to whittle away money to pay the bills, you cannot sustain that. So if we redid the calculations, they would be scary. They would be scary. How many people are not in the labor force? That number is very different. And, you know, you think of the available population and where they are, and then go from there, and it's a bleak, I think it's a bleak number. The numbers are going to go up and down for the next couple of months, but there's still too many Americans who need a job. You may be one of them. You might know somebody who needs a job, or they need a job that pays better than the one they have now, and that's the end of the story. If you've got to feed a family, you're just doing bare bones. It's not like you're taking the money and having these lavish vacations. I'm saying it's making ends meet. The definition of unemployment figures is way out of whack, and the number is not correct. When we have a shift, a big shift, can you all feel it? Will you agree with me on that? If something is going horribly wrong in this country, and then suddenly, boom, it shifts, you can feel that shift. We have not, ladies and gentlemen, felt that shift. I think we're still at the bottom of the well waiting for someone to help us out. But these job numbers, phony or manipulated or whatever, are helping the president, because in the latest poll, a Washington Post ABC news survey, of a sampling of adults, they found for the first time Obama's prospects have brightened against his potential rival, and they're saying Mitt Romney, and his overall job approval rating climbed on handling the economy. If the election were held now, they say the president would win 51% of the vote compared to 45% for Mitt Romney, the former Massachusetts governor, current Republican front runner. So he would win with 54% compared to 43% for Newt Gingrich, the former Speaker of the House, who vows that he's going to continue to try to get his party's nomination. I think it's going to get a lot tenser out there before it gets better. Now that the gloves have definitely come off, there's going to be some attacks across the board between all four of the candidates left, the least Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney's actually pretty good about that. I don't know if he, I'm going to say 3-1, because I don't know that he comes back, and the way that Mitt Romney or Newt Gingrich or even Rick Santorum does, that's just not Ron Paul. And I think That's why he has absolutely got a beat on the young market. What do young people have that people who are 30, 40, 50, whatever, down the line, they have energy, boundless energy, which is on their side. That's what they have. And so will the numbers, the real numbers, ever be told? The answer is, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's a tough count anyway, but I don't see the numbers. I don't see the numbers being plucked out and trying to rework them and figure out who it benefits and what's happening. I mean, it's like the sleight of hand trick, right? Sleight of hand trick. Well, we did a report here on America Tonight that Jeb Bush and Bush 1 were in Washington and decided to pay Barack Obama a visit. And what were they talking about? What was it? Was it just let's have a conversation? What was that conversation about? What do you think that conversation was about? I'm going to say that it was most likely really focused down on what's happening in the election. That's what I think. There's all these cries out there, and I've heard it today, earlier in the day, that what's happening is that with the re-election looming, they look at how the Republicans are doing, and they're showing kind of a fist pumping, we're rising in the polls, and we're going to do much better. By the way, the meeting happened because the Bushes were in town for a black tie dinner that they have at the Alfalfa Club. It's business and political leaders. And both of them were speakers. So Obama and Jeb Bush were anyway. And they're both brief and kind of funny. So that's probably what I think the conversation was about. I do. But if you go back in history and you look at President George W. Bush, he walked out on a dinner before Hillary Clinton spoke with Bill Clinton in the audience. Ooh, there was a lot of bad blood there. And now the two presidents are friendly, George W. Bush and Bill Clinton. They've gone on missions to other parts of the world. I want to say Haiti. I don't know if they went to Haiti. I could be wrong about that. They've gone on missions to some other places to try and raise awareness for things like the earthquake in Haiti and whatnot. So they've become chummy. But they weren't chummy then. They weren't chummy. So what does it all mean? It looks like the White House feels pretty confident that they're going to be back again for a repeat performance. How does it make you feel, America? Send me your thoughts, americatonight.net.
I've got a really bad hangover, so if you aren't willing to have a sensible conversation, I'm just going to shut the curtains.